truth seekers. To the Mike Malloy Show, it's Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Mike and Kathy have the night off. They'll be back Monday. Never fear. This won't hurt a bit. Glad you could join us. I am, of course, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, broadcasting from the left coast tonight as the sun sets on the left coast here in beautiful downtown Burbank, where we are glad you could join us. Stop by our chat room at bradblog.com. Looks like the famous, or should I say infamous, Jeannie Dean has just stopped by. Good to see you there, Jeannie. And you can also reach us at 877-520-1150 if I can get to the phones. I promise in the next hour it's going all phones. Well, maybe a visit from Des. But other than that, all phones at 877-520-1150. You can also tweet me at the Brad Blog. Okay, and just to close out what I had, we ran out of time there at the hard break when I was speaking with Dan Auerbach from the Electronic Frontier Foundation about the CISPA bill. You know, the point that these big government Republicans, meaning the ones that are afraid of big government, that he says the Tea Party is underrepresented in this. Oh, do you think? Hey, Tea Party, I thought you didn't like big government. Why are you cool with big government working together with corporations to read your email, to spy on you, to avoid even having to go to a court of law? Look, they could have done it anyway. Pretty much now we just take out the judge, and now they could just work hand in hand for all of your emails, all of your phone books, see who you're talking to. You guys cool with that? You Tea Partiers cool with that? You pretend conservatives? You pretend anti-big government conservatives? You're not conservative. You're not anti-big government. Otherwise, you'd be out there in D.C. raising holy hell. You'd be working with the Electronic Frontier Foundation to shut this down. To shut down CISPA. You can go to cyberspying.eff.org to get more info on this and to find out which congressman, which senator you need to get in touch with if you care about your rights. You know, I don't think that Republicans do. I don't think the Tea Partiers do. Clearly they don't when it comes to voting, because it is Republicans all over the country who are keeping people from voting this year. And at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to be speaking with Joyce Block, the 90-year-old grandmother-in-law of a Pennsylvania Borough Council president, who she has been voting for 70 years without a problem until the Republicans in Pennsylvania just last month passed a bill to keep her from voting. Because, you see, she's never had a driver's license. She's 90 years old. She's never missed an election. And they'll say, oh, well, you need a driver's license for everything, to get on a plane. No, you don't. Let me say that again. You don't need a photo ID to get on an airplane. Because the airplane companies, what do we call them? The airlines. Thank you. The airlines don't require a photo ID. Yes, your life will be easier if you have one. But trust me, next time you're going to the airport, you want to have a little fun, tell them, no, I don't have a photo ID. No, I don't feel like giving you one. Find out what happens. You're not going to get thrown off that plane. You're not. They're going to. There's other ways. Your life will be easier if you have one. But they will make other accommodations for you. They do not want. The airlines do not want to turn away 21 million Americans who don't have photo ID. On the other hand, Republicans do want to turn away 21 million Americans who don't have photo ID, because most of them happen to be elderly women like Joyce Block, 90 years old, from Pennsylvania, who we'll talk to in the after the bottom of the hour, because she happens to vote Democratic. Oh, and elderly, not just the elderly, but minorities. Of course, minorities. Can't have them going out and voting for Democrats. The poor, the urban dwellers who don't have driver's licenses, they're not going to, many of them are not going to be able to vote this year. Because in state after state, Republicans are passing these bills claiming it's to stop voter fraud. at the polling place when there is almost no voter fraud at the polling place. That is the only thing that photo ID restrictions at the polling place can stop, is in-person impersonation at the polling place. And yet I have been asking, proponents of these bills, show me one example of a case of voter fraud that happened at the polling place that would have been stopped by polling place photo ID restrictions, and they can't come up with. They'll show, oh, look, Acorn did voter registration fraud. Well, no, that was Acorn workers, not Acorn themselves. And photo ID restrictions at the polling place have nothing to do with voter registration fraud. They have nothing to do with absentee ballot fraud. And that's where most of the voter fraud happens. Now, election fraud, that's a different story. Insider election fraud, gaming voting machines, gaming the registration lists, pretty much what Republicans are doing here, but they figured out how to make it legal for now. In Pennsylvania, where they've just passed this new photo ID restriction, a crucial state, by the way, for Democrats, with its now 20 electoral votes. It had 21 in 2008. The college ID cards, most of them will not work. The voter ID law that was passed last month, according to the Morning Call in Pennsylvania, the voter ID law included student identification cards issued by Pennsylvania colleges on a short list of acceptable forms of identification, as long as those IDs have expiration dates. And the problem is, most college IDs don't. Some of the state's largest schools, including Penn State, Temple, and State System of Higher Education colleges, such as Kutztown and East Stroudsburg Universities, they all issue student IDs that can't be used at the polls under the new law. DeSales University and Cedar Crest and Lafayette Colleges, they're all in the same boat. And, of course, the same goes for most of the state's private colleges and universities, says Mary Young, Director of Government Relations for the Association of Independent Colleges and Universities of Pennsylvania. So you saw Barack Obama out there slow jamming on the Jimmy Fallon show. Oh, the kids, they love it. The students, they love it. Problem is, a lot of those students ain't going to be able to vote if these bills stay intact before November. And that's the point, and that's the hope, and that's what the Republicans are trying to do. And you'll hear Joyce Block, 90 years old, talking about that in a little bit. But we've talked in the past about 87-year-old Ruth L. Frank, an elected town official in Brokaw, Wisconsin. She would have had to come up with more than $200 for her free ID in the Badger State to vote under the Republicans' new laws there, because she was born at home, she never had a birth certificate, she never had a driver's license, and so she could pay $20 to have a birth certificate made. $20, that's a poll tax. But she could pay to do that. Problem is, her name is misspelled in the state registry, so she'd have to pay $200 to change her name in the state registry, to change the typos. So, yes, her free ID will only cost more than $200. This woman, who is a state official, 87-year-old Ruth L. Frank in Wisconsin. How about 77-year-old Betty Jones up there in Wisconsin? It'd be impossible for her to vote under the Republicans' new law because she has a driver's license, but it's from Ohio, where she recently moved with her daughter, and she doesn't have a birth certificate, and officials in Ohio can't seem to find her birth certificate that she would need to get her ID to vote. Betty Jones, 77 years old, is screwed in Wisconsin. Luckily, the League of Women Voters went to court. The NAACP went to court, two separate cases, both of them. Judges found that in Wisconsin, the state constitution denies the right to vote to be taken away. Lucky folks in Wisconsin. because not all state constitutions say that. And Wisconsin is one of the states that is not protected by the Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. So the DOJ can't write in, at least not under Section 5. They could do it under Section 2, but it's harder to prove Section 2 than Section 5. This all gets into the weeds a bit. But the DOJ has been able to stop the law so far, one of these photo ID restriction laws in South Carolina and in Texas. But they haven't gone into Wisconsin. Luckily, that has, for now, been stopped in advance of the upcoming recall elections there, where Republicans were desperate to get this photo ID restriction in place. Desperate to get it in place. To keep those minorities from voting. To keep those elderly, pesky old Democrats like 87-year-old Ruth L. Frank and 77-year-old Betty Jones from being able to cast their vote. Not to mention the minorities, not to mention the students, you know, people who vote Democratic. Take a quick break here. We'll come back with more on this and more before I speak with the 90-year-old Joyce Block from Pennsylvania, the newest state to disenfranchise its legal voters. Brad in from Molloy. Stay with us.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, so you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times they are a-changing.
One, two, three!
Come right in.
Yeah, there you go. The times are changing. For the worse, it seems like. By the way, I see we got some folks in the bradblog.com chat room listening on KJFK, our Reno affiliate. Glad we're broadcasting loud and clear out there in Reno. Hey, guys in Nevada, guess what? Your entire state uses 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting machines. Do you care? Ask me about that sometime. All right, going back to Pennsylvania, a couple of things going on in Pennsylvania. Other than the Republicans who passed this bill, is this photo ID restriction bill. And please stop calling it voter ID. Voter ID is not a problem. You know, we already have voter ID written into the Federal Help America Vote Act. If you don't register in person, first time you go to the polls, you'll have to show ID. Reasonable ID. It's okay. Most states already ask for ID. Bank statements, paycheck stubs, you know, stuff that allow people to vote rather than restrict them from voting. I'll give you an example. Out in South Carolina, there used to be three different things you could present to vote in South Carolina. A driver's license, a state-issued driver's license, a state-issued photo ID, or a voter registration card. Pretty reasonable. Pretty strict, but pretty reasonable. Everyone, if you're a registered voter, you'd be sent a voter registration card. So the bill in South Carolina did nothing but remove that third option, the voter registration card. You know, the one that they send you, the one that the county sends you. You can no longer use that. Now you have to use a driver's license or a photo ID issued by the state. This was meant to keep you from voting. This is not meant to protect against voter fraud. And thankfully, in this case, the DOJ shut that one down. Because based on South Carolina's own numbers, they found that African Americans, legally registered African Americans, were 20% more likely to lack the type of ID required under this new bill than were white voters. In Texas, the DOJ thankfully shut it down because they determined that based on Texas's own data, that legally registered Hispanics were anywhere from 46 to 120% more likely than non-Hispanics to be lacking that photo ID. And that some would have to drive more than 150 miles to get their free ID at the DMV. 150 miles in Texas for the free ID that you need to figure out how to do since you don't have a driver's license. Good luck with that. Now, in Pennsylvania, they've also put the folks on notice there. This out today from Demos and Project Vote and Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights. They've sent a pre-litigation notice to Pennsylvania, to the Secretary of State there, charging that the state is failing to provide low-income residents with a legally mandated opportunity to even register to vote under the National Voter Registration Act. They're supposed to make voter registration forms available at government offices, welfare offices, state DMVs, and so forth. State public assistance agencies are supposed to provide registration services to their clients. And they note that the number of voter registration applications submitted at Pennsylvania public assistance offices decreased by 93% in recent years. From more than 59,000 voters in 95 and 96, just after this bill was passed, to just 4,000 in 2009 and 2010. 4,000 registered voters. These are the tricks they use. These are the tricks they use to keep you from voting. That is the plan. And that's what they're trying to do to 90-year-old Joyce Block in Pennsylvania. I spoke with her earlier this week on my I do a show on Wednesdays out here on the Pacifica Radio Network in Los Angeles, KPFK. And I spoke to her after we learned that she was being denied this so-called free photo ID for the first time in her life. For 70 years, she was going to be denied the right to vote in the state of Pennsylvania. I know they talk about the horse race 24/7 on your cable television. They don't talk about this. This is what is going to affect the presidential election this year, congressional elections this year, and all the races below that. This is the fight to vote. Talking to Joyce Block next. Brad in from Molloy. Welcome back to your Mike Molloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike. All right, we're speaking about the newest assault on voters and the fight to vote, now moving to Pennsylvania, which Barack Obama won by 55% in 2008. Now the Republicans are in charge. They put in place a polling place photo ID restriction bill to keep Democratic-leaning voters from voting, at least in my opinion. And so this week, earlier this week, I spoke with Joyce Block, the 90-year-old resident of Doylestown, Pennsylvania, who's been voting there for 70 years, and her son, Det Anson, the Doylestown, Pennsylvania Borough Council president, her grandson-in-law. He told the story at a Bucks County meeting earlier last week. And I spoke to both of them about Joyce Block's fight to vote in an interview earlier. Here's some of that interview. Welcome, both of you.
Good afternoon, Brad.
Joyce, are you with us as well there?
Yes, I am.
All right, there she is. Okay, Det, give us the background. Explain to us what it was that you told the folks at the Bucks County Commission last week.
Well, when we heard this voter ID law go through and heard the requirements, we knew that Joyce was going to have challenges because she didn't have a photo ID. She did not have a Pennsylvania driver's license. So we went and the family members, we dug through everything and found what we thought were all the necessary pieces of information. We found her birth certificate. Even though she was born at home, we managed to locate that. We saw her Social Security card, her marriage certificate, utility bills, the deed to her house, everything you would need to prove residency, who she was. We spoke with our local state senator's office. They said, yes, you have all the information you need. So we took that information. We loaded Joyce up in the car, made the half-hour trip to the local DMV. And when we got there, we presented this information. We presented all the material. And the person behind the counter looked at the marriage certificate and noted that it was in Hebrew. And because it was in Hebrew, they would not accept it. And with that Joyce's birth certificate, her Social Security card were in her maiden name.
Mm-hmm.
All of her proof of residency were in her married name. And she could not prove that she was Joyce Block. They said, well, you have your maiden name. The suggestion by the person at the PennDOT office there was to have Joyce change all of her residency information, all of her utility bills, back to her maiden name so she could get a photo ID.
Oh, my God. So they wanted her to change the deed of her house. How much would that cost to make all of those changes?
Incredible cost, yes.
For this so-called free ID. Now, let me turn to Joyce here. Joyce, you're 91 years old, which means I hope you don't mind. You were born when? What year were you born?
Well, no, I'm 90.
Okay. I didn't mean to add a year. I'm gonna blame the Philadelphia Inquirer for that.
I was shocked. I mean, I hope to be here a lot longer.
Indeed. So what year were you born? And I asked this for a specific reason. 1922. So you were born just 2 years after women received the right to vote in this country as ratified in the 19th Amendment. And now you have been voting, is it true, for 70 years you haven't missed an election?
Never missed an election.
Do you recall who the first president of the United States was you voted for?
Yes. That would be, I think that was President Truman.
Truman? Now, so you have not missed a vote.
You had to be 21.
Oh, that's right. You had to be 21 to vote back then before it was raised, lowered to 18. Correct. And so you haven't missed a race. Were you shocked and surprised by this turn of events? Did you know this was coming? Had you been following this law as it was moving through the legislature in Pennsylvania?
Yes. I'm a political junkie. Oh. I'm an activist at this age, and I was horrified. And when I discussed this at a commissioner's meeting, it wasn't just about me. I have a marvelous family, and I knew I had the support of them and the help of them. I was concerned about all the minorities that are going to be affected by this. And there was no action taken. I don't know why you need an ID. I've lived here all my life, all these years. I mean, where are we that you walk down the street and somebody's going to ask me for my ID?
Well, they are now.
Yes, of course.
This is a version of Papers, Please.
Yeah. I hope the law is rescinded.
And have you ever had any other problems in your 70 years of being able to cast your vote? Anything like this during all of the years? Never.
Never.
This is, I find this story to be remarkable. Det, tell me what happened in 2010 when you helped your grandmother-in-law get to the vote back in 2010.
Well, she was in the hospital, and she's never missed an election. And we wanted to get her an absentee ballot because she wasn't able to get out of the hospital. But to get an emergency absentee ballot, you had to provide photo ID. So what we did is, family got together and we managed to locate a wheelchair and we actually wheeled her out of the hospital and got her to the polling place so she could vote in person and then returned her to the hospital. And that's how committed she's been. I mean, voting is important to Ma Joyce and, with the family here. And I'm fortunate enough to be married to her granddaughter for 18 years. And politics are part of Ma Joyce's life, but importantly, the civic participation is critical.
When you told this story at the Bucks County Board of Commissioners meeting last week, what was the response? Were there other people who were telling similar stories? Were you guys the only one? And what was the response to it?
I didn't realize that there was an African-American woman in the audience when I got up and talked about other minorities.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it was accepted. We asked for what we did want. Was some sort of a task force to go into the inner city in Philly and show the people and talk to the people and tell them what was needed. So far, nothing has been done.
Have you
seen reluctance on a task force because you know, effectively, Joyce not voting by some views is the law working. And when you talk about voter suppression, mm-hmm. and, you know, in Pennsylvania we have the state-of-the-art in voter suppression, that, you know, there's not an interest in government to educate people on this requirement. So you're going to have in November all these folks coming to the polls who will not be able to vote or file provisional ballots, yet not have the paperwork to back that up.
Have you been in touch with the ACLU or the League of Women Voters or, frankly, the DOJ for that matter? What have they said to you, Joyce?
As a matter of fact, the young man that is the head of the ACLU here came to the house, and I talked to him about it. And, of course, they want to sue the state, and so they need plaintiffs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somehow or other, by the way, I did get my ID, my voter ID today, and it's a temporary one. And I have to, and I don't know whether you're aware of this, but in Pennsylvania, I have to get another voter ID in 3 years because it will not be valid. In other words, I won't have a valid voter ID to vote in 4 years.
So you were able to get...
And it's not free. In 3 years, when I get another voter ID, it is going to cost. It isn't free to vote anymore.
Why?
Today they issued it's a temporary voter ID that was issued today. And so Joyce went up today to the DMV once again, made the trek up there. They issued this temporary ID, and they will then, within a couple of weeks, she'll receive a photo ID card that she has to go back up to the DMV. Because with this temporary ID, they still took all of her information, and they're going to validate it. So she will be three trips here before having an ID. And she's lucky to have someone transport her there. She's lucky to have the family.
Well, that's what I hear this all the time. Oh, well, why don't they just go? You can get these things for free at the DMV. And I have to explain, well, look, these are people who don't have driver's licenses in the first place. They don't drive. You said, that you had to drive 30 minutes to the DMV. Now, I used to live out in that area right out by you, right outside Bucks County, near Hellertown out there. I know how far apart the towns are spread. So where is the DMV? It's not, there's not one right in Doylestown. You have to drive to another city?
It's in Dublin, PA, on a heavy traffic section of a road called 313.
Right. I know 313. So you have to drive 30 minutes to this place, and it's going to be three times before you'll get this so-called free ID.
Yes.
We're not silly. We know why this is being done. And I wish there was a much big outcry about it. I mean, our pundits don't mention it.
Why is it? Well, tell me then. You have the opportunity to do so. You've got the public airwaves here, Joyce. Why is this being done as you see it?
Oh, to disenfranchise the people that usually vote Democratic. I mean, that's who they're targeting, and they're afraid of the Democratic vote.
And is there a voter fraud epidemic in Pennsylvania that
not
you guys...
Not at all. And there's no voter fraud anyplace. I mean, the amount of voter fraud... The only voter fraud was in Florida in the 2008 election.
Well, actually, even there, it wasn't voter fraud. It was election fraud. It was done by insiders. Yeah. Well,
right.
And there is, by the way, because I've heard this a criticism, there is some voter fraud. Normally, however, it's via absentee ballot or it's a voter registration fraud. The proponents of these bills cannot cite to me, I've been asking for the longest time, cite to me a single historic incident of somebody going in, impersonating someone else at the polling place and voting under their name. That is incredibly rare. And the folks who are passing these laws know that damn well. Tom Corbett, the governor, came out and lied when he was asked about this bill. He said, here's a direct quote. He said, when some of the precincts come in with 112% reporting, you have to scratch your head and say, how does that happen? Well, here's how it happens, Governor. You made it up. Yep. He made it up. That was part of my interview with Joyce Block that I did earlier this week. And I'll play the rest of it in a moment after we get back from this break. 90-year-old Joyce Block, who's fighting for her vote out there in Pennsylvania, where the Republicans are trying to keep her from voting. What Tom Corbett, the governor out there, said about precincts that had voter fraud, 112% turnout. I checked with Mary Beth Kuznick, the founder of Vote PA, the nonpartisan election integrity watchdog organization. They've been fighting to improve the electoral system out there for years in Pennsylvania and to help stop election fraud, the greatest threat against our elections. She told me that, quote, I know of no certified results that have ever said there was 112% turnout. That's ludicrous. In other words, Governor Tom Corbett, the Republican governor out there who signed this bill last month in March, came out and lied to the people of Pennsylvania about the reasons for this bill. Tom Corbett, short of evidence to support his 112% turnout claim, Governor Tom Corbett is a liar. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, come back with the rest of my interview with Joyce Block and her grandson-in-law, Det Anson, of Doylestown, Pennsylvania, on their fight to vote, her fight to vote after 70 years. You're listening to Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. In for Mike Malloy. Stay with us. Welcome back. This is your Mike Malloy Show. I am your fill-in guest host on the Friday night, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. We were speaking with 90-year-old Joyce Block from Doylestown, Pennsylvania. I was speaking to her earlier this week about her fight to vote in Pennsylvania, where they've instituted this polling place photo ID restriction. And despite all the documents she had taken into the Pennsylvania DMV, PennDOT, they denied her her supposedly free ID after her half-hour drive to get there. Thankfully, her son, her grandson-in-law, Det Anson, who is the borough council president in Doylestown, they denied her that ID. Well, luckily, the day I spoke with her on Wednesday, she received a temporary ID because so much noise had been made. And we made, you can read about it at bradblog.com. It was in the Philadelphia Inquirer. Here's the rest of my interview with 90-year-old Joyce Block and her grandson-in-law, Det Anson, asking them about their temporary ID that they were just issued. Joyce, why, or Det, you can tell me, why did you guys suddenly receive a temporary ID after you had such a difficult time getting one in the first place? What has changed between your initial attempt and now?
Well, I think Joyce's story has gotten some visibility, mm-hmm. and that helped mobilize to action. But I mean, one of the things that Joyce benefits from, I mean, I'm an elected official myself. So I'm hitting up all these folks in elected office. My office happens to be adjacent to the state senator's office, and I made my presence known in there and trying to get this resolved. And, you know, we moved mountains to get Joyce this temporary ID. Mm-hmm. But who is helping move the mountains for others? And that's the part that concerns me is when you look at this law, I mean, Brad, your program and what you do, we all care about the integrity of the vote. We mm-hmm. care about how those ballots are cast, that they're cast legitimately. There's perhaps no greater audience that cares about that. And what I look at this law and that there's no accommodation for someone in Joyce's circumstance. There's no accommodation for that person with a student ID without an expiration date. That the law, by being in place, directly took Joyce's right to vote away. And for those folks who are affected, we know Joyce's story because she's got a wonderful supportive family. But for those folks who don't have that support, who don't have that, what's their story going to be in November?
Who don't have a nice grandson-in-law to drive them 30 minutes to the DMV three different times, and who may, frankly, not be well enough to get in a car and drive to the DMV. They need to be able to vote. And folks who, you know, follow what I do at BradBlog know that for me, This is not a partisan issue. Yes, I go after the Republicans in this case because it is the Republicans who are passing these laws. But I will fight for anybody's right to vote. This is the most fundamental right that we have. Without it, none of the others matter, and we are seeing it under assault this year like we have never seen it before. Joyce, before I let you go, you said you heard from the ACLU folks. Will you be joining in a lawsuit, as far as you know, be a plaintiff in one of those lawsuits?
I will do anything possible to help the ACLU.
Well, thank you. At 90 years of age, and I am sorry that I added 1 year to your age. I'm going to fix that at the blog.
That gives me another year to go.
There you go. 90 years young, Joyce Block from Doylestown, Pennsylvania. Her son and her grandson-in-law, Det Anson, the Doylestown, Pennsylvania Borough Council president. You guys were very lucky. Joyce, you're very lucky that you had Det as a public official who was able to speak up and help you in this fight. And I join you in worrying about all of the other folks who don't have that advantage.
That is important, and we fight for them, too.
We do indeed. Joyce, thank you for the fight, making noise, and Det, thank you as well. I hope both of you will stay in touch with me as this moves forward, and I'm going to do my best to raise holy hell on your behalf this year.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. That was my interview with Joyce Block and Det Anson. That is the fight that's going on all around the country. That is the fight that is going to make the difference this November, no matter who it is you're voting for. And not just in the presidential election, but in the congressional elections, the state races, the ballot initiatives, the fight to vote. Joyce Block is not alone. We've been reporting on folks like Joyce all over the country who are seeing their right to vote taken away from them. And that's going to make the difference this November. All right, if you want to talk about that or anything else, I got a lot more to talk about in the next hour. But I'd love to hear from you as well. 877-520-1150 is our phone number. 877-520-1150. Maybe even Desi Doyen will join us for some green news. I got a whole lot of other... We are going to have to invoke the secret fourth hour of the Mike Malloy Show. Just so affiliates now know that. All right. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. A big hour straight ahead. 877-520-1150. Get in line right now.